The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, we had some fun. We'll have some more fun this hour. So I'm looking at this year's attendance, and
I have no water, and I ate really spicy wings.
I have, like, spittle left, and that's my, yeah. So this is going to be a fun segment. Unless there's an intern out there that would be kind enough to bring us a couple cups of water. But the Blackhawks versus the Bulls, Blackhawks averaging 100 more people a game attendance. They're both number one.
Yeah.
And 108.6%. The Bulls are at 98.9%. That's a negligible number to me, but that says a lot. That gets back to what I was talking about, what a great sports city that is.
No doubt.
From fans and everything else. The other one's Detroit. The Red Wings, 20,000 is what they average. And to be fair, this isn't. You got to look at TV ratings and everything else, but
right. Just
pure attendance. Yeah, and the Pistons average 15,000.
Oddly enough, Toronto, more basketball attendance.
And I think that's a configuration thing because the percentage of seats available, they're at 101.2 for the Leafs, and the Raptors are at 96.5.
Anytime they're over 100%, I'm like confused. What are you doing?
Standing room only, I guess.
I guess.
But the Raptors have gotten huge there, and I think that
one. The Raptors have been a very good team lately,
and the city's really gotten behind. And
especially considering Toronto sucked forever at hockey.
Yeah, oh god, they've been so bad. I'm still worried they're going to choke out of the playoffs this year. What are the other ones? Minnesota, we already did. Okay, so Washington, the Capitals, 18,506 for 97.4, and the Wizards. 16,000, so significant. Thank you, John.
And honestly, I mean, almost down the line, they're pretty close. They're within like a thousand of per game in most instances. Minnesota is an exception.
Yeah, Minnesota, Philadelphia, there's a pretty good gap.
Pretty good gap, but and I'm sure if we dug further, we'd find two equal gaps the other way. But for the most part, they're close.
But getting back to the original point about Las Vegas, I guess the comparable one for me would be Arizona. And they are 29th in the NHL with 13,000. And the Suns are at 17,000. So basketball, because neither one of those teams are any good. Basketball significantly better there. So 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. He says,
also disturbing when you look at those attendance numbers that the Rockets are 21st in the league in attendance.
Yeah, which in 16,856.
The 76ers outdraw the Rockets.
The Wizards, who we just talked about, how they're not even close to the Capitals.
Yeah.
They outdraw the Rockets.
The Orlando Magic outdraw the Rockets.
The 76ers.
Yeah, it's weird.
The Hornets. Yeah, here's the teams the Rockets are ahead of. The Pacers, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Hawks, the Pistons, the Bucks, the Nets, the Nuggets, and the T-Wolves.
Yeah.
Wow. That's frightening. Timberwolves have the worst attendance in basketball at 14,487 per game.
Yeah. Percentage-wise, it's the Pistons.
Yeah. The worst attendance in hockey is Carolina, which draws a whopping 11,000. And that well, that's an ownership mess situation there, and they should move that team. Hey, what's the name on four there, John?
I think it was Austin. The name kind of disappeared.
Yeah, it did. That happens a lot. Let's go to Austin. What's up, Austin?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas? Sports.
Sports to you.
Just an interesting thing to point out with Fred when he did say that he would think that the NHL team would probably do better in Vegas. I just read an interesting statistic on CBS Detroit, and they did, I guess they did a survey or a statistic, and it showed that over 15 NHL teams had a 100% or better capacity rating during regular season and playoff games, whereas only 8% of or only 8 teams, sorry, in the NBA average 100% capacity. So, I mean, judging that the fact that the NBA has a better market and probably has a better attendance, seeing that maybe their arenas are a little bigger, I can see them more people being involved in basketball. But I think it's a great point to point out that from a marketing standpoint in Vegas, they would have more people filling up the arena every time an NHL team came to watch Vegas play if they had a professional team there. I'll go ahead and hang up and listen.
The thing that I think in some of these markets, basketball is much more available on TV than some of the hockey. But I still think that the only way to really gauge it would be to take into account TV ratings and attendance and create some kind of a – yeah. And I'm sure somebody's done this. I just haven't found it. Somebody's asked about Mavericks versus Stars. Mavericks, 96.2% capacity, 19,761. And the Stars – are 18,137, 97.8 capacity.
The Dallas loves the Mavericks.
Yeah.
Even the Mavericks are horrible and Dallas loves them.
Yeah. And that's just, again, it's just a better sports team. The Stars are crap this year. Yeah. They're still doing 96%.
Now, a buddy of mine texted me and he makes a good point. And if you do some more research, paid attendance versus actual attendance are often very different things.
Right.
And typically, paid attendance, so when the Astros will give out their attendance numbers on Root Sports, and then you look at the crowd and you're like, how's that even possible?
Yeah, it's just tickets distributed.
There's a lot of tickets that are out there for people. If they wanted to use them, they could. It doesn't count like turnstile clicks, and a lot of tickets are given away to charities and things like that, and that counts toward their attendance number, whereas actual bodies in seats are not always that.
And now I the other thing is,
but there's no way to,
right. There's no way to actually know. And I think, again, it's just, you know, we were talking specifically about attendance and how the team would draw, and you have to throw in jersey sales and stuff like that, because that's a true gauge of, you know, that TV ratings, I would say jersey sales and attendance are kind of the way you would measure all this.
Well, TV ratings is a really important factor, because you think about it, the average NHL ticket is probably about the same as the average NBA ticket, maybe a little more on the NBA side. But if you look at the salaries of the NBA players compared to the hockey players,
it's not close.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And you think, well, how do they make so much more if the attendance is about the same? Well, it's TV deals.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's where all the money comes from. The ticket prices for the NHL are more, and the NHL owners are doing just fine, by the way. It's not like they're broke, but because there's some franchise values that are way up there in a couple places. 512 says the Rockets have a huge following, social media, etc., global, and a lot of people saying, I would go more often if it wasn't so expensive.
Well, I don't think the Rockets are necessarily way more expensive than any other team.
Yeah, I think
Houston's just not a great sports town.
No, we've said that many times, and people get mad and say, "Oh no, we love the Astros, we love the Rockets." Yeah, and you don't go to the games, and some of you do, and that's fine. That makes you a rabid fan, but there's not enough rabid fans. This city, it's funny because I always get the same question about would a hockey team work here? If it was good, absolutely, but you have to be good and you have to win. And I think with the Rockets playing as well as they are right now, there's no excuse for that place not to be sold out.
Yeah, 93.4% the Rockets. capacity. That's what they're averaging, 93.4%.
But if you, I mean, if you go to the games or you watch the games.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's yesterday's, crazy how yesterday's, few people are in those seats.
Yesterday's games, when you're watching it on TV, you're like, man, where are all these fans? It's Russell Westbrook, James Harden, MVP race. You would think a lot of people would make it out after church on Sunday, but no.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bodies going out to those games.
And I'm looking at this attendance percentage for the NHL, and the top top 15 teams in the NHL have 100% or greater, and the top five is above 100, top six is. It's crazy, and I think hockey, it's like that in hockey because it's a much better sport in person. Than it is in the NBA, where you can just sit at home with a beer and just watch the NBA.
The NBA might be the best televised sport, more so than football, even to watch at home. But that's, you know, and I would much rather watch a basketball game, and I'm pretty much rather watch everything on TV now. But the cool thing is we're going to get a Super Bowl in Vegas, I'm sure. And the Astros, you're going to have the same thing, and they're, even if they start off great, like people go nuts opening night. And they'll go for the big series, and that gets back to our dynamic pricing talk. Reality is, I mean, you're going to be able to buy tickets in the upper deck and walk down and get good tickets and good seats.
Yep.
At some point. And that's just how the city is. It doesn't mean that there's not good fans, that there's not rabid fans. There's just not enough of you. That's what it is.
And I think baseball in general, I think opening night you'll have a sellout.
Yes, absolutely.
Game two, in almost every market, except for like those rabid Chicago and New York and Boston.
New York, Boston, Chicago.
Half the stadium will be empty.
See, that's and that to me was the biggest difference between cities like that and in this city. It's just you don't have that kind of fan base for anything. And that's an interesting question that Lamont brings up. If NRG were to increase Jerry World size, do you think it would continue to sell out?
NRG does not sell out. Tickets get sold out.
Yeah, every ticket's sold, and every ticket's been sold for every game. But no, those seats aren't always full. And if they added, I think they could add 5,000, but I don't think they could add 10.
I don't know. I think they'd probably do all right. I mean, I think they'd still sell the tickets. I think the stadium would look emptier.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to add 10,000 seats.
Dude, that building, if you've got the upper level seats, it's already hard enough to see the game.
Yeah, I don't. Well, and that's the other thing. There's just nowhere else to put.
And honestly, all those people that are sitting in the crappy seats at Jerry World, they're just watching the big giant screen over the middle.
Yeah,
that's
really
the best idea that he had.
Right.
That's what makes that stadium cool. Is if you've got crappy seats, you're still watching it on the big screen, and it's so huge that it looks like it's the actual game.
Heck says Northeast teams in general have better attendance because those older cities are built to where people can walk and live inside the city. Therefore, they usually have better attendance at sporting events. I do think that's a factor. If you live in the Woodlands, it's hard to drive down for every Rockets game or every Astros game. And there's you know, really good population bases that are pretty spread out. But
although LA's as spread out as anybody, and their teams do, although there's more people in LA than those places.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's
man,
fair.
One of the coolest experiences I had in Chicago was to get off that train and walk to the Cubs game with all these Cubs fans just walking to the game. Casually walking to the game.
And it's like two blocks from the train station. It's nice.
That was great. Yeah. That was amazing.
We stayed right there next to Wrigley Field. And it's also, I don't know if it was known to me before, but Wrigley Field is also in the gayest neighborhood in Chicago.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like between the walk from the house that we rented to the stadium, which was like three blocks, there's rainbow flags on every corner until you get to Wrigley Field, and then it's Chicago Cubs flags everywhere.
But I must have been pretty oblivious. Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
There's a significant population there, and there were more guys checking me out than girls while I was there, which doesn't shock me.
Yeah.
I'm a gay seven in
Chicago. Like the Whole Foods in that neighborhood, we were shocked because, you know, Whole Foods usually has the green Whole Foods sign outside. Nope, it's a rainbow Whole Foods sign.
All right, quick break. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN. ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A lot of people talk about the public transportation system probably factors into it here. Somebody says people here in Houston work harder than the... No, they don't. Stop. But, yeah, the thing is... Yes, we don't have the public transportation those other places do, but that train line's now hooked up to everything.
Yeah,
and
we have more people living downtown and midtown and in that area than we've ever had before.
Yeah, and I think that's gonna help. But where I live, it's all. Here's the thing I found about hipster bearded guy.
Oh, they don't care about sports.
No, they're Astros fans. They're all huge Astros fans.
I could see that.
Yeah, you go down to the bars there, and you see hipster bearded guy. He's got on Astros gear, every one of them. Either that or they're not interested in anything.
Or they like the color.
It could be that. But I think the excuse that, well, it's all – because the traffic is awful. And I think that's always going to be a problem, but traffic's bad in the other places. They just have better transit. But you can park almost anywhere on that train line now.
Yeah.
And people just have to get used to using that. So if you're living out in Sugar Land, just drive to the nearest parking area over there, the medical center, park there, take the train. You don't have to deal with traffic. Do you have to leave a little bit earlier? Yeah. But, well, really, no, because you're not dealing with the traffic. And now that thing connects UH... Over there, there's places I wouldn't park over there, but there's places to park and take the trains. Thomas says, $90 for two nosebleeds before our parking, one beer and one chili cheese fry, each is too much, and we live in Clear Lake. And see, that's, in that story, we could repeat probably 500 times. I live in the Woodlands, I live in Clear Lake, and it costs that much. You can sneak alcohol in. That's what I would humbly, if price is an issue for you, then there's ways to get around that. I'm sure people can tell you how you can sneak in your own alcohol and save some money. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And, I didn't mean for this to turn into Houston fans suck or anything. I just think when you look at real sports towns, you see the difference. And I also think from a culture perspective, football's always going to be number one, and that's what we pride ourselves on. But I think there's a very big growing soccer community that's just not interested in basketball or baseball, and it is only interested in soccer. Now, it doesn't mean the Dynamo are going to do well, but if they get those international matches here, those things sell out like crazy.
Right.
Like when Mexico plays the U.S. and NRG, I mean, it fills up. And so it's not many native fans. Houston's very diverse with a lot of transplants. That's true. But, you know, there's still about 2 million of us that were born here.
It's a good amount.
Yeah. And
if you're if you came here from Detroit, I mean, the Pistons play here once a year. You came here from Cleveland. The Cavs play here once a year. I mean, there's something for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. A32 says, because baseball is not cool, of course hipsters like baseball. I say baseball's not cool.
I mean, there's also, in my opinion, there's a lot of people who move here and then grab on to the local teams, too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, if you...
And they may, like, if you're a baseball fan and you move here from San Francisco, and this may be more with baseball than the other game, but you move here from San Francisco... You're a big hardcore Giants fan. If you're a hardcore Giants fan, you're probably still going to a bunch of Astros games, and the Astros will become your second team. And I mean, baseball fans like to go watch baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
And even I'm looking at the MLB attendance from last year, and the Astros, 17th out of 30.
Again, but those are attendant. Like, if you go to an Astros game,
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is like,
even last year,
even baseball, there's not, you know, we're not even in the top 15.
No. And last year the Astros were good.
Man, yeah. The Yankees last year were sixth. Sixth.
Yeah.
Dodgers, Cardinals, Blue Jays, Giants, Cubs, then Yankees. Red Sox eighth.
I'm telling you, in Toronto, they sell out all those other teams. They're all pretty well. The baseball and basketball team have been good for a while. The hockey team just got there, but they always sold out even when they were bad.
They kind of, for an outsider looking at Toronto in terms of the sports city, it feels like it's a big town with a small town sports mentality where they go to every single game, kind of like OKC in basketball, where the fans just love it.
Yeah, I think part of it is they tend to make their teams like it's their national team because it's the only team from Canada. And so the whole country gets behind it. It's a very different kind of feel. Hey, I got to give something away here. How about two tickets to the 4th annual Houston Whiskey Festival this Saturday, April 1st from 6 until 10 at the Bayou City Event Center. Tickets are still available. Get yours today at HoustonWhiskeyFestival.com. We'll take caller number 20. Somebody asked if I was going this year. No, I will be out at the racetrack. Assuming I get back from the Final Four. We got other stuff. We got Wingstop gift cards. Since they brought us gifts, we're going to give you gifts.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm going to give away a couple of those. And then I've got a Pin Oak Charity Horse Show ticket to give away, or tickets, as it were. A lot of stuff happening on April 1st. Longhorn says, Dimitri says, I try and usually make it to every team in Houston every year, Astros at least two or three times. And I know the Astros also, for the longest time, drew a lot of people from Beaumont and like even over into Louisiana where they'd come in for the weekend.
Not as much now?
I don't know. I'd be curious.
I will say this about the Astros, and it's something you can say about the Astros and not really about the other teams. The Astros went on about a four-year run, and we talked about this during one of the breaks, where they stopped trying. Winning was not their priority.
Right.
It was – they were in a full-on rebuild mode where they weren't going out paying for players that were going to help them be better. They just – it wasn't a concern for them. They had a more long-term picture in mind. And when you do that, sometimes you lose a lot of fans that way.
The Root Sports deal as well.
I think that had a serious negative impact on both the Astros and the Rockets.
And it can take a while to build that back up. And now, fortunately for the Rockets in that situation, since that deal went down, the Rockets have been pretty successful.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been a pretty solid franchise as far as a competitive standpoint. The Astros, until last year, had not been. I mean, last year was the first even really respectable year that the Astros have had. So, it's...
Well, 2 years ago was the respectable
year. Yeah, two years ago.
And then last year, they were in it till the end.
Right. But it takes a while to build that attendance and hey, that following back.
And that's society now. If you go 5 years out of the public eye, which is what they did...
Forget about you.
You're losing a generation almost of somebody who would have grown up watching your team that just didn't see you and didn't care, and now they're going to get into you.
Well, it's not just sports. It's everything. Like, yeah. If, you know, you think back, I'm trying to think of an example of, like, a movie star. Okay. Remember when Brendan Fraser was making the Mummy movies, and everybody went and watched the Mummy movies, and they were, like, huge earners, made tons of money. The Scorpion King, all that crap. Brendan Fraser hasn't done a movie in I don't know how long, and if he came out with a movie tomorrow... People aren't going to be that stoked about it because it's been a long-ass time since he did anything relevant. People forget about you.
What if they told us, hey, we're going to do the last Game of Thrones season in 6 years?
No one would care 6 years from now.
I know. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. But they never did, ever did, living and flowing, and never did, living it till it broke up and it rained down.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
I think I need help. I'm drowning. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, I'm going to give something else away because I love the people so much. I got to say, I'm getting a lot of great texts and Twitters about tweets about people, you know, saying how often they go from and where they come from. And it's one of those conversations I didn't really expect us to get into today. And yeah, but it's kind of gone in a weird direction. But I've enjoyed learning a lot about, you know, people who come from other cities, what they become fans of. And the main thing people talk about is the cost to go there. But I have to tell you, some of these other cities that we talk about, smaller populations, and they're not doing as well as people here are. So, I mean, I get it if it's not in your budget to go to games, but that shouldn't be an excuse for these teams not to have better attendance.
Right.
All right, so how about this? You had Wingstop earlier.
I did.
You liked Wingstop.
I love it.
I love Wingstop. I had some wings. Jong, you had wings. Now,
they were delicious.
Caller number 25 is going to get wings. A Wingstop gift card for $25. Try the new limited edition flavor of the Brazilian citrus pepper wings at Wingstop. You get a $25 gift card to Wingstop and get the new, but this says the same thing twice. With 50 Wingstop locations in the Houston area, there's one near you. Log on to Wingstop.com and order yours in advance today. Wingstop, the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5.
Did James Harden lock up the MVP race this weekend?
I don't know. And nationally, that seems to be the pulse that I'm kind of getting just from, you know, reading stuff and listening to people. But, you know, I don't know. I still feel like it's hard to ignore what Russell Westbrook has done, even if his team isn't as good. And I think in the end, if it comes down to whose team is better, it's probably going to be Harden.
It seems that way. And I still think there's arguments to be made for LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, but those arguments probably won't be heard at the end of the day.
In the end, if assuming everybody finishes the way they're finishing, I could make a case for LeBron. I don't think I could make a case for Kawhi Leonard over James Harden or Russell Westbrook. I feel like I could make a case for LeBron. But,
although LeBron's team has sort of fallen apart a little bit down the stretch as he continues to basically do everything by himself.
Yeah.
But I will say this, and I'm starting to lean towards it. I mean, it looks like James Harden is going to win this thing. And probably the reason why I prefer guys like LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard is because, as you know, when it comes to MVP races, unless you're doing something just absurd, I tend to value defense a lot.
Yeah, which is what those guys are doing.
Right. And like the year Steph Curry won it, I didn't really have much beef. Because there was not much arguing those numbers. They were hard to top, even though he's not a great defensive player. He's like, well, that guy had a freakish year. These two guys are having freakish years, and neither one of them are doing much on the other end of the court. Although when I say that, Harden is doing a good job defensively relative to what he did last year, which was, I mean, basically he was horrible on that end last year. So credit where it's due. He has improved. One thing I will say, though, and someone was arguing this with me, if they said if you give the MVP to Westbrook, you're placing weight, and obviously if Westbrook wins, and the people who vote for Westbrook will say, this is the second guy ever who's averaged a triple-double for a season, but is no small feat. It's an absurd number. But, and he's on pace to finish with 30-10-10, which is just crazy.
Right.
But someone said if you reward him for that, you are placing way too much value on 2 rebounds per game. And I don't know that I agree with that, because 2 rebounds per game that's the difference between a great rebounder and a rebounder. And I looked it up when I was discussing it with this guy. You know who averaged 10 rebounds per game for his career? Karl Malone. Would you say great rebounder? Historically?
Yeah.
You know who averages about 8 per game for his career? Dirk Nowitzki. Do you think great rebounder when you think Dirk Nowitzki?
No, but I also think that was kind of an underappreciated part of his game. He was, I mean, listen,
8 rebounds per game for your career is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying you don't – there's a difference between a good rebounder and a great rebounder. And it's specifically if you're a guard who can average double-digit rebounds per game, that's no small feat.
Yeah, but I do think we're also – some of these stats – we're putting too much emphasis on, oh, he's averaging a triple-double. It's only been done one time.
Yeah.
But, okay, so those are the only 3 stats we care about. If we're going to give a guy an MVP because he averaged a triple-double,
right,
then we don't care about anything else.
Which is not fair.
And that's the thing. And then with the one where he had the so-called perfect triple-double where he went 6 for 6.
Shots. Yeah, I don't care about that.
And they make a big deal out of that. To me, what they're doing, what both these guys are doing is incredible. And I think they're both deserving. And somewhere in that whole argument, people are kind of ignoring the fact that LeBron is still the best player in the league.
But that happens almost every year.
Yeah. Just J. Way asked if the Astros TV contract is hurting their popularity or following. I think when it was Comcast, it hurt both the Rockets and the Astros significantly. And I don't think that's the case now. They've got a much broader distribution. And I've said all along, naming that thing Comcast Sports Network was a negative because people have a negative connotation when it comes to Comcast.
People don't like that.
And plus, if I'm DirecTV, you're going to put something called Comcast on my, you know, on my network. I think that hurt them, and then they kind of came along at the wrong time. But I like what they've done since they've been on Root Sports, and I think it would. I like to see more distribution. Absolutely, I'm sure the Astros and Rockets would too. But I think this is a where they are now is pretty good compared to a lot of places. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So, yes, we think Triple G won his fight. I still have people texting me about that fight thinking he lost.
I thought he won. I thought it was a close fight. Yeah. And like I said, I scored it 6-6. Golovkin had a knockdown. That's the difference in the fight to me.
Yeah.
But it was a great fight. It's just that we've gotten so accustomed to seeing that dude just dominate.
Yeah.
That, I mean, you find little things to pick at. You know, everybody goes, has a close fight at some point. You know, every great fighter. But, no, I thought Golovkin won the fight. I thought it was a close fight, but I thought he won it. I think if anybody wants to cry foul, it should still be Roman Gonzalez, who I scored like, it was either 8-4 or 9-3 for Roman Gonzalez, and he lost. So if you really want to bitch about a decision, go watch that fight and throw a fit there.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous. He knocked that dude down.
Somebody says Westbrook chases rebounds instead of getting back on defense. Harden does that too.
Harden complains about fouls instead of getting back on defense.
Well, and Harden,
what does you more good?
Both those
getting
guys.
Rebounds or complaining about fouls? Because I know which stat I prefer.
See, and everybody's caught up in the Harden is almost a triple-double and shoots 19 less shots a game. He's way more efficient, effective and efficient. He gets to the free throw line more. But the point is everybody's just focusing on those 3 stats. And I think that's partly the media's fault because we made such a big deal out of triple-doubles. So both those guys are – I think both those guys are padding their rebounding stats. So
I do too.
And – I don't really
But I guess it. If I was on the verge of averaging a triple-double, I'd probably pad my rebound stats too.
Yeah.
Although I think he only needs like 6 per game for the rest of the season to average 10. So he doesn't have to pad too hard.
No, but I'm sure he will.
And Lamont saying, if we're using A.J. Hoffman's 2015 J.J. Watt MVP rule, Westbrook shouldn't be in the conversation. If the Thunder don't make the playoffs, Westbrook shouldn't be in the conversation. The Thunder will probably make the playoffs.
Tim Burgess said he watched the replay, and I thought Triple G won by a little more than I first thought. Golovkin landed his jab at will. Yeah,
and he never got hurt. That was the other difference, and that's what I thought was so funny. Daniel Jacobs, he did an interview like that. Maybe it was the Sunday after the fight, and said, his power's overrated. He never hit me that hard." And I was like, "Dude, he knocked you down. You fell down when he punched you. That means that you got hit hard." I don't know his power's a myth. Okay. I guess your chin is a myth because you got hit with one of those weak-ass shots and fell down. So
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. We're going to take a little break. We come back. We've got a gem of the day. But first, you got to tell the people about.
Yeah. And on the other side, I want you to take a look at one other guy during the break and tell me what you think about him as an MVP candidate. And I want you to take into consideration that the Boston Celtics are currently tied, or I mean, they're still technically in second, but they have the same amount of wins as the Cavs. If they're the number one seed in the East, does Isaiah Thomas, does he deserve a look as MVP?
I think, yeah, he deserves a look, but I don't think, yeah, it's a one winner kind of thing. And I just think there's other guys that are ahead of him. He deserves to be in the conversation, just like Leonard deserves to be in the conversation. But do those guys, I mean, are they close enough to what the other guys have done?
I don't know.
To warrant consideration? Especially, you know, being third in the West to me is, well, if you beat out the Cavs, that's pretty impressive. We'll talk about it when we come back.
All right, let's talk to Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. What's going on, Aubrey? Tell me something good.
Hey, guys,
good.
Beautiful afternoon. What's always going on, and we're actually shooting some TV shows today, and the demonstrations, when I don't know why, but one of the TV shows had like 150 people, were in the first time I ever seen an audience that big, and I believe that the white carpet clean up, because we had some white carpet we pulled out of a dumpster, some white frisé, and when we cleaned it without soaps, chemical residues, or tap water, and it's one thing when you're doing it and the signal goes out and you don't get to see people's reaction, but today it was really crowded and people started cheering, they started laughing and clapping, and it's just amazing to see what we can do, friends. Dial 281 Dirt Free, 281-DIRT-FRE, carpet, tile, leather, your leather furniture, sofas, grout, your tile and grout, drapery, travertine, your wool rugs. We're really the interior quality of your home. You want that done without soaps, chemical residues, or tap water. Dial 281 Dirt Free. We'll come out with our giant van powered machine. We invented it, created it, produced it. It's got its own water, wand, pre-treatment. It's all supplied in that giant truck. We'll start in the worst spot. If you don't love us, you don't pay. Three rooms, $100. But if you need tile grout, leather drapes, upholstery, air ducts, wool rugs, if you get any of the other services done, even your air duct return, we'll do a free room of carpet cleaning and $100 free speed dry. Two freebies with any of those purchases.
Sounds like a great deal. Aubrey, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, bub.
Thanks, guys.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Hey, download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And if you haven't had a chance yet, check out the great sports, great website, HoustonSportsAndStuff.com. Man, I went to get water, and I'm still. Something in here I'm allergic to. Every now and then, it's
probably me.
Could be.
I'm not really into showering.
Yeah, it could be that.
That's not true.
And somebody's asking why isn't Leonard considered more of a candidate? And I think he is. I think he's in the mix. But if you start comparing, I just don't think his numbers match up to the other guys.
Well, here's the other thing.
The defense is important, and it means a lot. And I've always said that, but I also think the differences are so profound in the other categories, and that's the categories people are going to look at.
Well, I think the biggest reason for that is, and remember that Kawhi Leonard plays on a better team than both those other guys. The problem is Kawhi Leonard plays with LaMarcus Aldridge.
Right.
He plays with Pau Gasol. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, people will say he's in a place where if he didn't succeed, it would be a problem. And it's the same reason why Kevin Durant, even though Kevin Durant was so freakishly good before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I would have made I could have made a really solid argument for Kevin Durant to be the MVP based on what he does out there on the floor and the defense he was playing this year. Kevin Durant, a guy who I've ragged on constantly for being a weak defensive player, was so good defensively this year until he got hurt. And granted, it helps when you're playing in between Draymond and Klay Thompson. That does wonders for how you look defensively. But either way, he was way improved defensively. But no one wanted to argue for him because he played on a team with Steph Curry,
right.
Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Like, he's set up to win. The guys that we're talking about here, Russ Westbrook and James Harden, there's not much around them.
No.
There's not much that you could say. If
you take James Harden off this team,
they're a bad team.
They're not even close to the playoffs. And it's funny because I got a text here saying Steph won with help over Harden in 2015, but now people say Harden has too much help.
No, Harden doesn't. Nobody.
Whoever said that, anyone who's ever said that is dumb. This team,
the number two guy on this team.
Who is the number two guy on this team?
I guess it's Eric Gordon.
Probably.
The number two guy on this team would be the number four guy on the Cavs. He'd be the number four guy on the Spurs. He'd be the number five guy on the Warriors. So,
not even that.
James Harden doesn't have too much help.
I'm not sure there's anybody on this roster that could start for this, other than James Harden, that could start for the Spurs or the Warriors.
And honestly, I don't know if James Harden could start for the, I mean, depending on where they play him.
Yeah, he'd start. But there's, stop that. That's silly.
Only when you think about how important Klay Thompson is to them defensively, I don't think they'd be in a hurry to move on from that. You've already seen when they got offered Kevin Love for Klay Thompson, they're like, no, he's too important to us defensively. We don't want to move that guy.
Yeah, that you'd find a place for him, believe me. But the reality,
Oklahoma City didn't find a place for him.
Well, and that was their fault. They should have kept the guy for one more year and made a run with those three guys. And I said it at the time, they were cheap, and you get what you play for when you do that.
Yeah.
And I the guy's evolved as a player. There's no question. And what it 2 years ago, he was as good as
anybody. I don't think he's evolved as a player. I think he's just got more opportunity now. I think he was this guy when he was in Oklahoma. He was just the third best player on his team. And that guy doesn't get as many looks per game as he gets now.
Except I saw a big jump from year one here to year two here. And then the regression last year. And then now he's back at a high level. I've seen him improve as a player. And yes, he gets a lot more opportunities. And especially on this team, he gets all the opportunities. But I just also think he's a better player now than he was then. So the best.
Aristotle Sharp always gets mad at me about the Rockets. He says, good Lord, AJ, really? He wouldn't start. I weep. If I were running a team, I'd rather have Klay Thompson than James Harden.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
As long as he's not my best player. Now, if I had to start a team, like if the Rockets could trade James Harden for Klay Thompson, I wouldn't do that because Klay Thompson's not a guy to build your team around. But if I'm talking about, and by the way, if James Harden went to Golden State, he'd be the third best player on their team. As the third best player on your team, I don't know. I might rather have a guy like Klay Thompson than James Harden. That's all. Just my personal preference.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. So
that's fair.
And yeah, I think. Yeah, but the point I was trying to make before you kind of hijacked it with the Harden thing. Name me one other Rocket that would make that starting.
There
five.
Isn't. There's not.
What
one
about
that's
what
even
about
close.
The Spurs? Would,
no.
would anybody start for the Spurs?
No.
So yeah, that is your best argument for James Harden for people who want to make it. That he has nothing around.
I mean, Eric Gordon could start for the Spurs, but he'd have to be the starting two guard.
He doesn't start here, so
yeah.
But the point being, you've got four guys out there in the starting lineup with James Harden that wouldn't be in the starting lineup for these other teams,
right?
Just don't see it.
Yeah, James Harden doesn't have too much help, and honestly, and that's what I think probably separates he and Russ from the LeBron Jameses and the Kawhi Leonards, who you can be mad at me all you want. Anybody who tells me that James Harden or Russ Westbrook is a better player than LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard, you just don't watch enough basketball or you're a homer. But the difference is those two guys have help. And James Harden, Russell Westbrook this year, neither of them have help. So everything that they're doing, everything their teams have accomplished is basically on their shoulders. And it's hard to deny that, especially with what the Rockets have done so far this season, where they're at, the third best team in the NBA, and they legitimately have one. I don't want to say they have one good player. They have one great player, whereas these other teams all have three or four great players.
And that's the point. It's not that these guys are pigs.
Yeah. I mean, they and the Rockets have actually, offensively, they've got some real depth now for the first time in a long time. But, yeah, I mean, again, your number two guy is Eric Gordon. James Hart, I don't want to say he's doing it by himself, but it's almost damn near by himself.
Well,
same with Russ.
And I think there's more to it than that. I think they've got a bunch of guys who fit what this coach wants to do and fit around Harden's game. And there's a reason his assist game is so up. He's putting these guys in really good positions to score. And the way that offense is set up, I think he's a perfect fit with some of these guys. And when we're talking about individual talent, and it's like 5-1-2. Last night, six players scored 20-plus points. Lou had 31. You guys don't watch the NBA. Sorry. Pay attention to what we're actually saying, 5-1-2, okay? It's so silly. I mean,
was that the second game since Lou Williams has been here that he went off? I know the first game he went off, and everyone said, oh, my God, he's the best player in the world, and then he didn't do jack for the next 3 weeks. So I guess he had a good game last night. So now he's the greatest player in the world again. Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
We've come full circle?
Apparently.
Okay.
So,
but I honestly, if you gave me the choices, if you said right now it's James Harden or Russ Westbrook, based on what the Rockets are and what the Thunder are, as impressive as it is that he's got a triple-double, averaged a triple-double, and I would have said, if you told me preseason Russ Westbrook would average a triple-double, I would have said there's no way he's not the MVP. I think you might have to give it to Harden because he's this team, you know, and whatever I think of what they're going to do in the playoffs is neither here nor there.
Right,
a regular season award. James Harden, of those two guys, has taken his team further in the regular season. And so
you can make an argument that Westbrook has more players around him than Harden has around him. Now, I think Harden's fit better.
Yeah.
It's close. I mean, they both have – but I just think it's a
– offensively, I think – Harden has more capable guys around him.
Yeah.
But and Westbrook just carries that offense, I mean, night in, night out. Harden isn't always necessarily asked to do that. But I think if those were my only two choices, and I would exasperate every excuse to vote for LeBron James because I think he's the best player in the world, and I think if you take him off the Cavs, they're back to picking first in the lottery.
But you know what? If they don't win the East, he's off my list.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about Houston Can Academy. It's a place that changes lives every day. They graduate thinkers and makes us a better community. And these are kids that had to drop out at other places and for a variety of reasons. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. Some of them couldn't get there, had transportation problems. Well, Houston Can Academy gives these kids another chance. They work around whatever those issues were. And so many go on and do great things and they graduate. And you can help because they need your help. And your donation is real simple. They'll take cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs. It could be tractors. It could be four-wheelers. It could be big old lawnmowers, any of those things. You got an old John Deere sitting out there. Doesn't work anymore. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They'll process all the paperwork, and your donation is tax-deductible. And if you just did your taxes and you're thinking about next year, imagine how much would come off if you would do that right now. So get rid of it. If you're not using it anymore, they'll come. It doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It doesn't matter where you are. If you can hear my voice on the radio, they will come to you. And if you donate today, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card. Just their way of saying thank you. Give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.